Warfarin's discovery began as a long journey across Wisconsin during a blizzard. A Depression-era farmer determined to find out why his dairy cattle were bleeding to death after eating moldy hay drove hundreds of miles to UW-Madison. There he showed scientists a sick bovine and a pail of unclotted blood. This bit of campus history still fascinates the attorney who worked on several warfarin patents. Howard Bremer recalls how a German research assistant passionately detailed the farmer's financial dilemma. There was no money for an expensive blood transfusion and no cash to buy uncontaminated hay.
He has no udder hay to feed him. He can't buy any. And if he loses the bull, he loses his seed. Mein Gott, mein Gott. You can just see this interaction, how they were willing to help but couldn't help without years and years of scientific exploration.
Biochemist Carl Paul Link's discovery of a natural anticoagulant in sweet clover did not come in time to save the farmer's cattle, but that research paved the way for a synthetic blood thinner called warfarin. It's also known as Coumadin. 35-year-old Michelle Erickson has taken it for nearly a decade to ward off clots like the one that put her in the hospital for 8 days. Since then, the Madison resident had to follow a complicated daily regimen of pills.
Every day I usually end up taking one of each, so 7, except one day a week I only take 6. That's how kind of detailed they get.
That necessary attention to detail is what many consider to be warfarin's drawbacks. Those taking warfarin require frequent blood tests. The drug dose sometimes needs adjusting depending on what a patient eats, their level of exercise, and other medications taken. Elliot Williams is a hematologist at UW-Madison. He says pharmaceutical makers have been trying for years to find an alternative to warfarin.
There have been several candidates over the years. One very recent, within the last 2 or 3 years, that we all thought was going to be on the market, but then turned out to cause liver damage.
Competition is keen among pharmaceutical makers to find a replacement. The payoff could be huge. While on patent during the 1950s, warfarin generated $16 million. Today, that would amount to more than $121 million. The patent royalties went to the country's first university agency to transfer lab discoveries to the commercial sector. That agency, Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation, came into existence at a time when academics were loath to be associated with commercial revenue generated from their discoveries. Dave Nelson is a biochemist who chronicles the department's history.
Land-grant universities spent a good deal of their energy working to help farmers with practical problems. That was considered their job. They didn't expect to make extra money by patenting things.
The Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation no longer controls the patent, but warfarin remains on the foundation's top 10 list of all-time moneymakers. Patent attorney Howard Bremer says it's actually more valuable than revenue figures show, because he says the number of human lives saved is priceless. Shemaine Mills, Wisconsin Public Radio.